At the end, that speech by the 2.5 tribes to Joshua, it's rather interesting. Joshua says, leave your wives and your children and your livestock on the west side of the Jordan and come with your brothers in order that you might help them to settle the land, that you might enter in to warfare to conquer the various nations and tribes, settle your brethren, and then come back, cross the Jordan to the west side to be with your wives and children. Isn't that really interesting? Now, if you look at their speech, it's just three verses, 16 through 18. It's like, wherever you send us, we will go. Whatever you ask us to do, we will do. It's like all about Joshua. What you command us, not the Lord. Whatever you command us, that's what the text reads. Whatever you command us to do, Joshua, we will do. And they'll go so far as to say, if anybody rebels, let him be put to death. If they don't listen to your word, let them be put to death. That's pretty strong. But it's rather interesting in kind of the prayer, the desire that they have for Joshua. It's like, and let the Lord be with you. Let the Lord be with you. What strikes me is, if I were there and I was about to leave my wife and my children and all of my possessions behind and go into warfare, I would say, well, what's going to happen to my wife and kids while all the warriors are away? Lord, be with my wife, be with my children. That I would think would be my prayer. I think it would probably be your prayer as well. Be with the family, be with our possessions while we're away. They're rather vulnerable on the west side. And who knows, I may not return. I'm going into battle. Be with me, Lord, be with me. You notice that that's not what they say. It's all about Joshua. Be with Joshua. Lord, we pray, Lord, be with Joshua. Joshua, we are with you. We will do whatever you say. We'll leave our wives, our kids. We'll follow you across the Jordan. We'll enter into battle. And may God be with you, Joshua. May God be with you. Not with us. With you. Oh, brothers and sisters, why this focus? Why the emphasis on the one man? Even verse 9, the text that was chosen, it's a wonderful text. And I just couldn't jump into an application right away. The Lord speaking to Joshua, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Well, this is true of us. The Lord tells us not to be afraid. He'll be with us wherever we go. There's all kinds of promises along those lines where the Lord encourages you, his people. Don't be afraid. We even sang that first hymn, How Firm a Foundation, based on Isaiah, that passage in Isaiah. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. I'll be with you, whether through the flood, whether through the fire. I will be with you. Early life, old age, I will be with you. It's one of the tremendous promises that God gives to his people, covenant promises. See it in Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Don't be terrified. Don't be alarmed. The Lord is with you. Now, I could have jumped to that, but I think we would miss so much more. How can we gain such assurance that God is with us in that way? And so we have to ask the question, well, why the focus? Why the focus on Joshua? And so, I want to answer the question this way. Follow this. The Lord uses leaders. He uses mediators. He uses men, individual men, in the lives of his people to guide, prosper, and bless. The Lord uses a man. He uses a man to bless, to protect, to guide his people. He uses a man in order to accomplish not only the individual's destiny, but the nation's destiny, his people's destiny. I'll put it this way. The destiny of the individual determines the destiny of the people. Follow? The destiny of the individual determines the destiny of the people. Whatever happens to God's chosen one is going to have consequences for all of those who unite and bind themselves to that one. That chosen one's destiny determines the destiny of all of God's people who are united, who follow, who give allegiance to that one. Now you see this throughout the Old Testament. Redemptive history. We talk about Noah, who finds favor in the eyes of the Lord. It's not everybody, it's not even his sons. It's one man, Noah. Builds an ark, who saved his family. By one man's destiny, okay, a family is saved. Others could have been saved, and I should say animals. God's creation, in some sense, is saved in that ark as well. But by one man, a family and creation saved. One man. Abraham is chosen by God out of Ur of the Chaldees, and anyone who associates themselves with that household of Abraham, guess what? Is going to be blessed. Remember, Lot chooses to kind of separate and kind of go where the valleys are greener and the water is flowing, the prosperity is there. And you remember what happens to Lot and to his family. He severs himself from that household, from that one, that chosen one. He severs himself, and what happens? It's not blessing, my friends, it's really curse. But those who remain in the household of that one man, blessed. Joseph, we could switch. It's not Jacob, the father, but Joseph. Through the various trials that he goes through, he's finally given authority second to Pharaoh. One man. Who saved? All of his brothers, all of his family, Israel. And the text says something along these lines, that as long as Joseph was alive, Israel prospered. In fact, they became a nation. They grew. They were blessed while they were in Egypt. And they weren't under bondage. They were given all kinds of benefits and privileges because their brother Joseph had authority. One man determines the destiny of that very, very large family that is really the seed of a nation. When Joseph dies, another generation, what happens to those people? They end in bondage. Moses. We're just kind of unfolding redemptive history. Moses is chosen, one man as mediator. And through Moses, what is accomplished? Well, the liberty, the redemption of God's people out of Egypt through the wilderness to the threshold of the promised land. Tremendous revelatory material. Tremendous revelation through Moses of who God is, yet through the mediation of this one man appointed. How it goes with Moses, it goes with the people ordinarily, unless they rebel against the one man. Remember how they complained against Moses, and it's really constituted a complaint against God? One man determines the destiny of the entire nation as they wander through that wilderness. Now we come to Joshua. And again, what you find in this text, in this chapter, is there's the focus. Here's the one man. Here is the one who is chosen by God to lead the people. It will be Joshua now who determines the destiny of the nation. If it goes well for Joshua, what happens? It goes well with the people. Joshua fails, what happens? All the people fail. Now, we know, many of us, you read through the book, he doesn't fail. He succeeds. The nation enters into the promised land. They subdue the nations, and they begin to receive the inheritance that God promised even many generations previous. So, how does our text this morning, if we want to focus on the text, how does the text demonstrate that Joshua is the one? Well, simply, clearly. hopefully, clearly, maybe shortly. How does the text demonstrate that Joshua is the chosen one? Well, you see, Moses is dead. Now God calls him. Calls Joshua. It's clear. Lord spoke to Moses. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them, sons of Israel, in every place with the sole of your foot. Notice that second person pronoun. The yous and the yours. It's about Joshua. Every place where your foot, Joshua, lands, I'm going to give it. And I will be with you as I was with Moses. I'm going to give you, I'm going to fulfill the promise. And it seems like even the boundaries are more expanded than what Israel even considered, from the river Euphrates all the way to the Great Sea, to the Mediterranean. Everywhere where your foot steps, I will give that to the people. That's kind of interesting. Joshua will enter, will battle the tribes, gain the inheritance, and fulfill the promises of God for his people. The armies will follow him, to be sure. But it's Joshua. His destiny determines Israel's destiny. Joshua is also exhorted. Be strong and courageous. You see that three times. There's the emphasis. Actually, four times. Verses 6, 7, 9, and then even the 2.5 tribes, be strong and courageous. Everybody's telling Joshua to be strong and courageous. There's that exhortation, and he's able to do so. Why? Well, he's given the word of God, and the further exhortation, meditate upon this. Don't let this law depart from your mouth. Meditate upon it, and do the very things that are written, and you, Joshua, not the nation, you, Joshua, will be successful. And again, the point, Joshua's successful, who else is going to be successful? All those who link up and are bound to Joshua. And Joshua is assured. And this is where part of verse 9. But again and again, the Lord said, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Do not be afraid. Don't be terrified. Do not be alarmed. Be strong and courageous. I will be with you wherever you go. As I was with Moses. And this is repeated, I think, three times, four times. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Wherever you go, I will be there with you. What assurance. So here the text demonstrates that Joshua is this chosen one, this leader, this mediator. He will be the general, the captain of the Lord's armies as they enter into the land. He's called to fulfill those promises. He's exhorted and to obey. And he's assured God will be with him. God will be with him. Now, transition alert, major transition. How does all this apply to what we've done today in the baptism of Cora Elizabeth? How do we get to baptism? Well, we no longer have Joshua. In fact, you read through the story. The final chapter is, you read about all these deaths of the leaders of Israel, including Joshua himself. But the wonderful thing is, when they're buried in the land, in the promised land. A tremendous advancement of God's purposes for his people. They gain the inheritance. But Joshua dies, along with all the other leaderships. And that's true. Noah, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua. And go further. David, kings of Israel, the prophets, the priests. That whole generation, dead, gone. With the Lord, to be sure, but certainly their destiny necessarily is not bound up with our destiny. They're gone. So the question is, to whom are we bound? Who determines our destiny? Who is that chosen one that determines our future? If we bind ourselves to him, if we receive him, if we have all allegiance to him, if we follow him, and his destiny determines the destiny of his people, what is our destiny? Who is that chosen one? In our baptism, we acknowledge the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. we further acknowledge that there is a chosen one by God himself. And he happens to be the second person of the Trinity, the Son, who's taken on human flesh. Who is the chosen one? You only have to read through the prophets, particularly Isaiah. There is a chosen one. There is one precious in the sight of the Lord. There is one that is set apart in order to bring about all the promises of God. It's Jesus himself. And so I have to say, his destiny determines your destiny. He is that one. He is the Joshua. Joshua was only a shadow, a type. Jesus is the fulfillment. And what's rather interesting is he gains victory. He gains victory more than over the Canaanites, the Philistines. He gains victory over death, sin, wrath, condemnation of the law. He gains a deep victory, and he enters into and grants an inheritance that is far greater than the land of Canaan. It's an inheritance which, he says, the meek shall inherit the whole earth. It's really the entire earth. In fact, it's the whole new creation, a new creation. And you only have to read through the New Testament to find that in his triumph and victory, how large and deep, how rich and abundant that inheritance is. That he himself claims for himself by virtue of his victory, by his obedience, by his being called by the Father, and he bestows it upon you. If you but unite yourself to him, if you but follow him, if you know and give allegiance, be loyal, love, and devoted to your Savior, his destiny becomes your destiny, and you know what his destiny is. He lived, he died for your sin, raised again, ascended to the Father's right hand, and now has all blessedness. Christ Jesus himself is the chosen one in whose destiny is bound up the destiny of all of his people. And the victory that he gains is far greater than any victory Joshua can gain for his people. And really, that's what this text leads us to. It does lead us to baptism, for it's here we acknowledge who is Lord Jesus. We acknowledge his destiny, forgiveness, and new life. Here we acknowledge and bring our children in order that together we might follow him who has granted to us a deep, rich, abundant inheritance. If we but follow him and train our children to follow him, his destiny is your destiny. Life, blessing, inheritance. Now you know the other side of the coin. You don't receive rest, follow Jesus Christ. What is your destiny? See, the wonderful thing about our future is we know what our future is. It's bound up in Jesus. His future is our future. In fact, we could say, kind of an interesting twist, since he is in that new order mode and realm. His present is our future. His present is our future. You want to know what's in store for you? Look to him. That's what's in store for you. It's light and life, inheritance, communion with the living God, full, rich salvation, deliverance, victory, triumph, dignity, glory, however you want to put it. And so when we bring our children, Cora Elizabeth, when we bring our children to be baptized, we are acknowledging that our destiny is bound up in his destiny, and we want to nurture and train and shepherd and guide, instruct our children that they too, that could be their destiny. If they but look to Christ, if they but receive and rest in him, apart from him, there's darkness, destruction, perishing like the nations of Canaan. But following our Joshua, our Jesus, is all victory and triumph. And so now we come to verse 9, and here's really the application. The Lord is with you. Since the Lord is with Jesus in full measure, the Father loves Him, He abides in the Father abides in Him. He has the Holy Spirit without measure. All God, full and rich. Since God is with Him and He is with God, God is with you. And He's saying to you in Jesus Christ, in this covenantal, beneficial, salvific way, you follow Jesus and God is with you. You're reminded of that in the very words, the meditation and the words that are spoken, the Word of God, yes, by the Holy Spirit, yes, but in the union with Christ, God is with you. God is with you. And secondly, you no longer have to be afraid of anything. That's the whole point of a destiny. Knowing the end of the story, knowing someone else's destiny, and then realizing my destiny is bound up in this, in his, you know your future. There's no reason to be afraid. That's why the Lord says, be strong, be courageous. Oh, people, in these perilous times, raising your children, don't be weak, don't be carping, don't tremble, be alarmed, enter into drama. Be strong and courageous. For all victory is yours in Jesus Christ. You have His Spirit, you have His Word, you have one another, you have an inheritance that you shall one day enter into fully, but you have it now, in principle, in pledge, in down payment. You have it. Be strong and courageous. And I have to say, in raising your children, and that's why that little piece about leaving the wives, leaving the children behind on the west side, you don't have to be afraid. Commit your kids to the Lord. You don't have to be afraid. Will bad things happen to some of your kids? I imagine so. And yet the Lord will use whatever happens, even for their benefit, for your benefit, for our benefit. And I have to say, if I might, that Cora Elizabeth is a testimony of all of that. A little baby born in very adverse and dark circumstances. And I don't want to be overly dramatic, but I've seen such circumstances. And without the ability of making any choices on her own, except to squirm around a little bit and drop her binky and that sort of, no ultimate choices. And yet look at what God does. So brings her into this family, binding her in some sense, in that visible way, to Jesus Christ, where now she is protected. And for us, we not only see the baptism, we're not only hearing the Word of God, we see Cora Elizabeth in the arms of Hannah and Rob, and we delight and rejoice in them, yes, but we should learn from what God is teaching us. That a child who cannot make a decision on her own by sovereign grace and power has put her into her family to protect. And that is but a picture of what He does for us in His household, belonging to Christ, being His children, wandering, not able to make decisions, adverse circumstances, and yet He draws us to Himself, into His household, with all protection, giving us triumph, victory, giving us a destiny, a future, in which we do not need to be afraid for ourselves or for our children. We do not need to be dismayed, terrified, alarmed, but with all strength and courage. Know that God is with us and that we are on the move as church militant to finally receive that inheritance that is ours. Whatever that looks like, we know it's rich and abundant. It's filled with light and life. So people of God, let's consider that text. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? This is for you. Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. The Lord your God is with you and your children wherever you go. Let's pray together. Father, we are thankful for this word, for the baptism of Cora Elizabeth, for her testimony to us, and our testimony to her, that we belong to a loving Savior. Now bless the Phillips, bless us as a congregation, bless Cora, bless all of our children, we ask, that they might learn and that they might see that their future is bright, filled with light and life in Jesus Christ. We ask in his name. Amen.